SBS Radio.
Mikhail, about yourself and your work, are you originally from France or migrated there?
I'm born and bred in France, in Paris. And originally my grandparents came from Turkey in 1920. So yes, I was born here in Paris.
Mikhail, I read your appeal to the Armenians. Could you give more detailed information about the Project Aram and how it started?
Yes. Actually, I'm a curator at Bibliothèque Nationale de France, the National French Library, and I'm in charge of the Armenian collection there. And I thought that we should do something about Armenian testimonies about 1915, since actually I realized that there are lots of written testimonies still in inside families. And I thought that we should collect those testimonies and digitize them. So we wrote with the association Aram an appeal for Armenian families to let us digitize the family testimonies. We realized that usually those testimonies are a very important part of the family's legacy. So we don't ask families to give the testimony, but only to let us digitize the written testimony so that we can put it online and provide a new service to the academics working on those topics. So we hope that people will hear our appeal and let us digitize these testimonies. Actually, there are already hundreds or thousands of written testimonies on 1915, but I'm sure that we can still find 200 hidden inside family archives.
You collect only written testimonies or photos as well?
Well, at the beginning, our thought was to collect only written testimonies, but of course, we also collect pictures and maps and everything which is connected to the written testimony and which can explain or enlighten the testimony. And we had also another goal. It is to publish the best ones in the form of a book, because I realized also that some people, some families, in the course of years, have published translations of those testimonies in French or in English, because they think that if they publish it in English, it will have a larger audience. And of course, it's a very good idea. But my concern was that the original Armenian version would be maybe lost eventually, because if we publish only the English translation and not the Armenian one, there is a danger or a risk that inside family archives one day the manuscript would be lost. So my concern was also to avoid that kind of danger by digitizing and perhaps publishing the best Armenian version.
And if a document is in Armenian, do you translate it to other common languages like English or French?
Well, actually, main concern for now is conservation. So if we find very interesting testimonies, perhaps one day we will translate them. But for now, our main concern is to collect, digitize, and publish in Armenian for now. Because the translations are useful, actually. But actually, all the real researchers usually read Armenian. And for the others who don't read Armenian, and who usually are not real researchers on the Armenian genocide, there are already plenty of Armenian testimonies in English or French they can use. So we are not worried about the researchers who don't read Armenian for now. For now, our main concern is to avoid losing testimonies in Armenian kept inside family, and that's the real danger for now.
The testimonies you collect relate to eyewitness accounts to the genocide or life after the genocide in Middle East, France, or other countries?
Yes, actually, my preoccupation as a historian was to collect eyewitness testimonies on 1915. But after speaking with the Aram Association, which is more concerned about collecting evidence on Armenian life in the diaspora, we expanded the scope of our search. And now, actually, we are looking for testimonies about 1915 and the life after 1915 in the diaspora in Lebanon, France, or the United States. And actually, many testimonies do not speak only about the war years, but they also tackle the topic of the life in exile outside the Ottoman Empire. So, yes, this is a very important topic also for research, because now it's been very trendy among academics to also study the life of immigrants in the new environment and how they adapt to a new environment. So those testimonies are very important for that kind of research, which is actually growing. And also before, I mentioned during testimonies, eyewitness testimonies of about 1915 and the afterlife. But we are concerned also about what was before 1915, because lots of eyewitness testimonies also have a very long development about the life in the village, the small towns of Anatolia, where there was a vivid Armenian life. And as we have very few documents on this life, on that Armenian life in Anatolia, actually, any kind of eyewitness testimony is very important also to document this life in Anatolia. And also another aspect, of course, is the 1895 massacres. We have very few documents on those massacres conducted by the Sultan Abdul Hamid. And sometimes in the written testimonies, people who also have memories about those massacres, which are very, very difficult to document, actually. So, yes, we are very interested by all aspects of Armenian life in Anatolia and after the exile in the diaspora.
So, have you collected enough testimonies so far?
Actually, it's very slow. So, we started this last fall, maybe in October, we started with France, and in last month we also sent messages to the Armenian press in the United States. So far, no, in France maybe we gathered maybe 20 written testimonies, which is not much actually, and we hope we will gather more in the following months. So, but actually, we already have some important testimonies we can publish for this year. But we are hoping that if we get some new ones, we can have new publications next year in 2019. But actually, we are everything is. Starting, it's the beginning of a new development. So, actually, we are still looking for funds to digitize the new manuscript. We are also looking how to process the transliteration of the documents, so that we not only have manuscripts digitized online, but we can also provide a typed version of these documents, so that it's easier for academics or researchers to look into those documents. So everything is slow for now, but we have good hope that next year we will be fully operational.
And Mikhail, if someone has a written document, say in Australia, what should they do? How the process of digitization works? Who should they contact?
Yeah, I understand. Thanks for this question. It's very important. Yes, actually, if you look on the internet and you type ARAM Association Armenian, you will find the web page of this association, and you can write that you are interested by this digitization program. And there is also a message which will be spread in the Armenian newspapers, where you can find the address of this association, internet address. And there is a special page for contacting the association, where you can put your name and address and email address and send a message. And then the association will contact you in order to see how we can complete the digitization. And I think that for Australia, since it's very difficult to send documents through postal mail, I think we will choose another method. We will ask people to digitize the documents on the spot in Australia with their own scans or in a private company in Australia, and to send us the digital documents. And then we can put those digital documents inside the digital library of the association. And each document will have its own web page with a small presentation of the witness and its family and its history also, and perhaps also the history of the document, if the family has some information about that aspect too. And so I think that each document will have its own personality. It will not be drowned into a mass of documents. And we will try to give a special focus on each document so that its specificities can be taken into account. Yes, I remember now that there is another association which also is doing similar work. Maybe you have heard of the Hushamadyan Association, which is based in Berlin. And the person in charge of this association is Vahe Tashtian from Lebanon. And Vahe Tashtian has a very similar approach. He wants to digitize all types of documents about Armenians in Anatolia, not only written documents or photos, but also textile or any kind of production, Armenian production from Anatolia from the beginning of the 20th century or the 19th century. And so far they have done a very good work, and they collected a lot of digital photographs of all these documents. You can have a look also at the website of Hushamadyan, and you'll see that it's very important to collect not only written testimonies, but any kind of objects allowing us to document the life of Armenians in Anatolia before 1915. So it can be textiles like cloths, or can be also or spinning work or a metal work also. People in some cases have managed to bring with them many things. Some families have managed to keep many objects, and these objects are very important to understand Armenian handicraft in Anatolia. So you can have a look also at Hushamadyan. So ARAM Association which is based in France, in Marseille, and Hushama Dian, which is based in Berlin, in Germany. And those are two important associations for this digitization programs.
Mikhail, do you cooperate with other organizations in the diaspora or Armenia?
Well, I don't know actually if Aram has a cooperation program with Armenia. I know that Aram Association in France, in Marseille, has already started a digitization program with newspapers and books. So if you go to the website, you will see that there are also already a good deal of digitized books and newspapers. The main, the most important newspaper for France is Harat, which was a daily newspaper founded by Shavash Nisakyan. And this newspaper has been entirely digitized by the Aram Association. It's a very important source for the Armenian life in France, and not only in France, because the newspaper was interested by Armenian life all over the world. So it's a very good job done by the association. I think that I'm not sure if they have any kind of a cooperation with other Armenian associations. No, I think they are on their own. And for Hushama Dian, yeah, you should ask them also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe there is something else also I could speak about. It's a small website I created on the internet. I created a small website which is called HiBook. Mm-hmm. It's about digital resources on the internet about Armenian history and literature. It was founded in 2010. And I realized in 2010 that there were many important digitization programs all over the world, Armenian digital programs. So not only in Armenia, but also in the United States, in France. So I thought that maybe we should gather all those Armenian digitization programs and provide the information on one website so that people can find them more easily. So I try to gather all the scattered information about digitized books and newspapers. And the name of the website is HiBook, and the information is classified through big literary genre, like poetry, novels, short stories. And I also have another category, which is history, so that I try to classify the information so that people will find documents, digitized documents, more easily. And actually, there are many digitized books and even newspapers on the internet now in Armenian. So that even if it's very difficult to find physical books, in Armenian physical books, mm-hmm. on the contrary, it's quite easy now to find digital resources in Armenian, either in Eastern Armenian or Western Armenian. So it's very important for schools and for teachers, and even for maybe priests, to have a digital library online so that they can find resources they don't always have in their physical libraries. So it's important to check all the available resources in Armenian, and all the more since people sometimes don't always speak Armenian at home, so it's important to read to keep the knowledge of Armenian alive. So the name of the website is HiBook. If you type HiBook on Google, you will find it very easily. HayBook. HiBook.
Mikhail, thank you very much for the interview and the information. I hope you get a good response for your project.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, bye. Shachana Ganem. SBS.com.au.